Mike, turn your games down.
Hi, welcome to episode 272 of Games My Mom Found. I am Mike Elberton, and who's writing some tombs with me tonight?
This is Rich Sir Sampson of the YouTube channel Rich Kale, deftly flying into another dangerous adventure, and one that finally made me do something I never thought I'd do.
And the sound of the beer cracking means that it's Cody, swamp born of House Laveau, professional exotic animal cowboy, warden of the riverlands, bender of limbs, winter soldier, gentleman adventurer, former handsomest man, wooer of ostriches, breaker of hearts, treasure hunter, friend to every single animal on the face of the earth except for mosquitoes, inexplicably famous in Iceland, published author, Harangi Fire. You can buy it right now on Amazon.com. Search either my name or for that book. I will shamelessly plug. You might probably know me as that guy from TikTok. Yeah, the hillbilly Iceland volcano black little mermaid guy. I know it gets weirder and weirder and longer every time I'm on this show, Mike.
Yes.
That is all of our time. I hope you all have a great night. I really wish we could talk about Tomb Raider.
It keeps getting stranger and stranger in your life sometimes, I swear.
I want you to see what I am drinking right now. This is backwards, but this is Floki. This was a gift from my trip to my most recent voyage to Iceland in January. That is insane. You do not go to Iceland in the month of January. It's pretty cold. Weirdly, it was colder in Texas when I visited. It was warmer in Iceland than it was in Texas somehow. But what this is Floki. And if you're ever out there, you should get it. This one is a single malt whiskey sheep dung smoked reserve. Yes. See that right there? Sheep dung smoked reserve. It's delicious. I'm going to do a shot as we begin this podcast.
Maybe I should keep this video recording and put it on the Patreon.
Oh, no, you definitely do. This is great. You record this, my guy. This is quality content out of my Charlie Daniels shot glass. This is going to be a fun podcast, I guarantee you. 1, 2, 3, bottoms up. Here we go.
Yeah, I should not think that there's anything too weird out there. I mean, I'm the person who won blackjack with a 5.
Heck yeah, my guy.
See, I can't drink whiskey
or let it burn you.
I have, but I tend not to.
You got to let it burn you. Don't chase it immediately. Just like Usher said, you got to let it burn, Mike. Ooh. I let that go, and I'm going to chase it down with a Modelo, because that's like the exact opposite. It's like way north and way south.
That's a good beer. That is good Mexican beer.
I like it.
I will drink that. I will not drink Corona. Unless you give it to me for free with a lot, but I will not pay for it.
Corona is from New York City.
New York City!
I love you so much for knowing that reference, Richard.
See, I've only had Corona a few times. Coors Light is another beer I will not buy. I will only drink if it's given to me for free or if it I happen to free. Find it unopened in a cooler in a parking lot when I was at work.
I mean, I don't blame you. The best kind of beer is free beer. I will...
Except I was nervous, so I dunked it in Clorox and made sure all the cans were... I just dunked it in Clorox water, and I'm like, okay, now it's safe to drink.
Oh, my God.
Well, I came in a cool... You know the shit I found in that parking lot where I work?
Before you drank from it after dumping it in Clorox water.
It just adds to the buzz. It's great.
Adds to a dead buzz, I'm assuming. But no, everything got washed off with soap, too, and water, and I was real careful, but I was like, I was not going to just open these cans and start drinking it.
Fair enough. You gotta live your life, Mike. And it sounds like you are doing it right. You are living Moss just like Taco Bell told you to. Drinking beers you discover beers. And speaking of discovery, this week we're talking about Tomb Raider anniversary. Wait, am I doing your job, Mike?
Apparently. Go ahead.
It was a perfect segue. This game released in 2007 on Xbox 360, PS3, PC, or PSP for some reason. I don't know how they got that thing working on there. And I don't know, probably it's on something else by now. Stadia. If anybody owns that console, let me know if it's on Stadia.
It's on Wii. It was on Wii.
Yeah, with motion controls, I don't know why anybody would want to put themselves through that with all this platforming. But, you know, we support alternative lifestyles here. And if you want to jump around using motion, then God bless you. Why not?
Although from what I've read through looking at the occasional walkthrough on Stella's Tomb Raider site, they had something extra for the Wii players. They had etching rubbings you could do.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't... easier stuff, too.
There are also more puzzles, too, or something in the Wii version. There was some extra shit I was reading about.
Yeah.
Nothing I want to experience. I hate the Wii, okay?
I don't even think I own a Wii anymore. I probably should. And that's with all of those video games that are back there. See all that? I have like a 3DO back there. I own a Wii U. I own a Black Dreamcast. It's right here. Oh, that one right there. That's a Black Dreamcast. 3DO, N64, NES top loader. I own a Sega Nomad. I own the Tommy Hilfiger Game Boy Color. That's it right up there, the yellow one. This is great for anybody that's just listening to this. I don't own a Wii.
It's fine.
I don't own a Wii, and I probably should. I just completely skip.
There's no point. If you have a Wii U, you own a Wii.
Yeah, I have a Wii, and don't necessarily turn on that much anymore, so.
No one does.
Unless you're old for folks. This podcast, I probably wouldn't.
I should
play some games on it again, but.
I want to emulate Wii, but I haven't really gotten that far yet.
We need to play the last Cabela's or Dangerous Hunt game. That game is bananas. It is, like, if you think you kill lots of animals in this game, it is like genocide in that game. It's, okay, you know in the game, but Condemned, for some reason, every single homeless person just went crazy and just started like charging you. It's like that, but with animals in Africa. When I am talking dozens and dozens of like cheetahs, you are wiping out entire ecosystems in this game. It's ridiculous. There are ancient rituals. There is a hippo for some reason that I think is on meth. That's the most ridiculous game. That is a Wii game that you should absolutely cover for this. It takes like 5 hours to play just for the pure shits and giggles of it.
That's not bad. I have played some weird shit, so maybe. Yeah. So I had played Tomb Raider Anniversary 1 for 10 minutes a long time ago, and my roommate's like, I don't really want to watch this. And then I'm like, okay, I'll get to it later. And then, well, that was like over 10 years ago.
Well, you finally got to it now, so yeah, you got to it later.
I did. I mean, I bought this on 360 back then. I played it on my Steam Deck for this podcast because I could. Yep. I mean, that's the way to play it, if you can.
Yeah, I think so, too. I played it on the PC at first, and then for some reason I switched over to the Xbox 360. It turns out I owned a copy of it at some point. I just never played it. I swear, the only time I ever turn that thing on is when I'm doing this podcast. I did it for... I think I might have done it for Alice. Was that game on there?
Yes and no. Depends on what version.
I did it for Metal Gear Solid 3. And then I did it for Dead Space. Like, for some reason, that is like, you keep finding games that I somehow own on Xbox 360. It ran great. I mean, if you still have it, you could probably find it cheap.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have it on PS3, 360, PC. I mean, this has been on my list to play forever. Like, I went through a phase where I rebought games on PS3 just because I like spending money, apparently, at GameStop at that time. So I was just, if it was cheap enough, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to get around to this. And I just never did. Because I have no real, like, history with Lara Croft and Tomb Raiders. And this was a game that just didn't really grab my attention because, I mean, I love the Survivor trilogy stuff. I love that. I don't really care for her other game, I'm finding out.
So like, just the butt isn't enough for you?
No.
That's what you're telling me.
Just the style. These games are much more adventure than, like, with the reboot, there's a lot more of that Uncharted style and a lot more of just gunfire, where this is really based on platforming, and at times the platforming made me want to throw my Steam Deck. So
there are more dudes to shoot in the more modern Lara Croft games, whereas this was animals and mythical beasts, which I will talk more about later.
This was basically, I think when it was released, it was also around an anniversary for the franchise. probably a 10-year anniversary.
I think so.
Yeah, was, yeah, that probably sounds right.
And they worked
made in a year.
Decent little attempt for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was designed to work it in with Legend.
Didn't that come out like right before that?
Or yeah. A year before.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, even before when Legend came out, I thought that when Legend came out, it was part of the same timeline initially.
I did not play it, so I cannot speak to it. I have no idea.
Of course, I think it's part of the same trilogy.
It's the same trilogy as Legend and Underworld. But my thinking at the time was that Legend was a start, was a continuation of the already existing trilogy. It's not until later I learned out that this is a different timeline. I mean, Laura's not necessarily shunned, or Laura wasn't disowned by her parents.
Yeah, they definitely changed it up a little. Yeah.
Was she disowned by her parents in one of them?
In the first series, she was disowned by her parents.
Oh, okay.
They weren't too keen on her living the adventure lifestyle.
Relatable.
So, I think when they did the movies with Angelina Jolie, they changed things around.
Where her father was dead, and then but he's been hunting after the MacGuffin for his entire life. And she's going to, like,
archaeologist,
and like everybody called him crazy. So she's going to, like, avenge her father's name by finding the magical what's a doodle.
Well, that's in that. And that was the Survivor timeline.
Yeah. And this is
okay,
just,
that's a different. Okay.
He's dead.
He was
right?
Still looking for stuff.
Okay.
But he sort of realized this is not stuff we really, well, part of it was due to what happened, but an incident that was mentioned in the first Legend.
Yeah, man is not meant to know with a blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
And we have another fellow Tomb Raider joining us.
Wait, is somebody about to jump on?
Yes.
Okay. I won't say anything funny until the other one.
And
word.
Welcome, Kyle.
Word.
I'm sorry, sir, what, Mike?
I said welcome.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for having me on this episode. Sorry about the lateness.
Oh, you're fine. We haven't gotten too far yet.
You're good.
I was surprised the story of this game and kind of how, like, she's being recruited by some mercenary to go look for an item that her father, like, kind of go back to what you're saying, like, her father's looking for, I guess, or was.
They adapted the story of the first game very well for this. Even the opening cutscenes mirrors that perfectly. Except I think there's a little bit more knowledge they've actually smartened Larson up a bit in this version, which is, of course, actually, anything you do with Larson that makes him smarter, it doesn't have to be much with him from the original.
Okay.
He came to her in Calcutta and asking her to help out because it was something her father was looking for, too.
Okay.
And it was it's not until the Underworld we learned how much he already figured out before Laura even knew. But the object is to find the Scion. But, of course, we have an opening cutscene even before that, which even when I first saw it, it didn't necessarily make sense at the time to me. An explosion in Los Alamos, where they were doing all the nuclear bomb testing.
Oppenheimer, which won a bunch of Oscars. Yeah,
set free this canister or something that something was in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you didn't know what was in it at the beginning of the original game. And we get introduced to what will be our main adversary, Jacqueline Natla.
Yes, the Bat Lady.
Yeah.
Okay. See, Mike knows that I'm not very good.
That's fine. I don't even
plots. Odds are, I'm probably listening to some kind of like audiobook or music while I'm playing a game. So I'm like, oh look, a cowboy. Oh look, there's Fred Durst. Oh look, there's a bald French guy. Like that's kind of the extent that I know of it.
Yeah.
For me, I wasn't as interested in the story either, but I just the gameplay just ended up just knocking off my backlog. That's kind of what it was for me.
Yeah, well, if I know you, you're gonna have us both play Legend and Underworld. You're gonna have us
some
play
point.
Legend and Underworld at some point to conclude.
Not this,
this
year, but yes.
and then you're gonna say, why didn't I pay more attention to the story?
That's what YouTube's for.
Exactly. That is, there are a bunch of guys who will recap the story that I will not have to worry about it.
Not enough, actually. I found
20 minutes and it's really okay. I did not look anything up on this.
No, there wasn't a whole lot. Kyle, what is your history with this game, Tomb Raider Anniversary?
Well, there's a very specific reason why I wanted to be on here for this episode was because this is my literal favorite era of Tomb Raider, because Tomb Raider has had a weird kind of history in that, like, it started off very popular, and for what it was an impressive game series, and it was really cool to just have an awesome woman character in a video game series. Like, you play as her, and you get to do cool shit, and solve puzzles, and explore lands, and just, yeah, do all sorts of cool shit. But I found those early couple of games by Core to be just, I could never really get used to the controls. I know there are people who could, but I never could. But this next era that came after, I believe, Angel of Darkness, and that was such a bomb that kind of almost ruined the series. The next era of Tomb Raider happened, which was the Crystal Dynamics era. And I love this era of Tomb Raider. This is, like, the best Tomb Raider, in my opinion. Like, era of Tomb Raider. I know there's the serious, like, Lara Croft games that happened in the 2010s, and those are good, too, but my favorite era is the early Crystal Dynamics days. Like, Tomb Raider Legend, Tomb Raider Anniversary, like, these two games kick so much ass, and it's my absolute favorite accessible era of Lara Croft. Like, the controls are great, it's fun, you really feel like you're exploring all these, like, awesome, cool caves and lands and landscapes and levels, and, like, it really feels like you're the character, and I love these games so much. Like, these are fantastic. I'm so happy to be here.
And I feel like that's a rare thing, because I feel like most people would either be super into the old ones because they're like a PlayStation 1 purists, or they've only played the newer ones. So I think you're very unique in that kind of way. And I could definitely see why this is your favorite era of it.
I've kind of noticed that with a lot of Tomb Raider fans too. Like, either You're a good majority of people are the hardcores from the very first couple of games. Like, either they played it on PC or PlayStation, or maybe they even played the Saturn port. Or I say port, but I know Tomb Raider was actually originally developed for the Saturn specifically, and then they had to move over to PlayStation.
I wonder
why. Yeah, I know. Shame, though, because I do love the Sega Saturn. I love the PlayStation. I love the PlayStation as well, but I also do love the Sega Saturn. But yeah, that's another episode. But yeah. It's either you're a hardcore from like the classic era and you grew up with those games, or you played them in your teenage or 20s and you love them, or you just started the new hardcore era of Lara Croft with the quote unquote the reboots of Crystal Dynamics.
I love those, and I think
those are so good.
An issue for me with this is that it didn't have the level of combat that I wanted, and also I didn't really like the platforming a whole lot in this game.
No, I get that.
I had a lot of issues where I would just, one thing I could never do that I know you have to, but I would get it by accident, was to jump off walls. I really don't even understand how I did that when the time that I did do it.
No, I get that. But yeah, like, it's weird, because, like, I don't find a lot of any fans of this middle era of Lara Croft when, like, it's weird, because, yeah, this is my favorite era. Like, I love the modern Lara Croft games. I think they're fantastic, they're theatrical, they're so intense, they're just, like, you are in the absolute, like, shittiest of situations with Lara, and it's just, like, it's so harrowing. But, like, this middle era was just like, oh, we can be a fun action movie, too, but, you know, we'll still, we're going to have better controls, or we're going to make the gameplay just a little snappy.
Totally.
Hey, Rich, since I know you love the first game more than I do, was this a pretty good, like, remake of the first game?
It is a very nicely done remake of the first game. There are some key differences. I mean, even starting out, Croft Manor, your basic training level is a little bit more in-depth. It's like its own separate little adventure.
Yeah.
Whereas in the original game, it was just your short tutorial level.
Right.
So that's a nice little change, because it's a lot more fun to explore her house that way. I mean, I just did that this afternoon.
I liked that all of it was sort of like half finished, or they were like remodeling something. There's a bunch of scaffolding all over the place, so it turned the whole place into like a playground. There's like a hedge maze. It's a fun way to interact with the controls of things, kind of at your own pace. There's that like climbing gym in there that lets you bounce off of stuff. That I actually jumped into Croft Manor first. Like, I did that on Steam, and then I did the rest of it on.
So you did it the proper way. I just jumped.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I was familiar with it. As I worked through, I mean, I played the original.
Right.
So I know what the levels are. So I'm looking at how they've changed them, how they might have improved or made them different.
Right.
So each time I went through a level, I'm thinking I knew that they had changed some things. They've combined some levels. And basically, it's one of those, I'm looking at it not only from the aspect of playing through the game and seeing how they've adapted it for this timeline. I'm seeing the changes, and I see some that I like. I see some I don't like. I mean, we could get to them as we go through the right. levels. It's just, when you talk about, like, as you said, there are a good number of camps out there that you got the hardcore yeah. fans of the original.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's one of them I follow on Twitch since they've returned.
Yeah.
And he's been now trying to do like the remasters without, you know, no load, no med type thing.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm assuming in the original it didn't have, like, in this game, if you died and restarted at checkpoint, you had full health at all time. That's not in the original, I assume.
No, it's not.
Okay. I like that, by the way.
The older games were a lot just of, like, if, like, you saved and your health was at, like, half point, it's staying at half point. Like, you have to heal yourself. Like, the game won't do it for you.
I mean, that was just the way games kind of were back then.
Yeah.
And then on the computer, you had this. More freedom of when you could save and resume.
Yeah, you could save anywhere.
So that
PC, it was like save stating, like on an emulator where, you could literally just save anywhere. Like
that's how I beat Tomb Raider 2.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't that how you play most games, Mike?
Yes, of course.
But here it was basically when you have that checkpoint system. Oh, yeah, you can save. You're just going to start back at the checkpoint.
Yeah. Yep. But it was very friendly for the most part. There's only really one part where I got frustrated with the checkpoint system. But for the most part, it felt like they wanted you to finish this game. And they put it in situations where you almost always had a checkpoint. You're rewarded for any progress you make. And, like, I played this on easy, obviously, because it's me.
Yeah, same.
And the game didn't punish me for it in any way. The game was still fun, still challenging enough. Because the combat really wasn't what you're playing this one for.
No, not at all. It feels like the combat was just to break up the with the exception of the guerrilla warfare. With the exception of that, I didn't feel like there was in the gladiator arena type thing. But other than that, I felt like it was much more about the exploration, the verticality, the climbing, the puzzle solving than it was shooting bears.
Yeah.
Although shooting bears is pretty fun.
Except, would a pistol stop a bear?
It depends on the pistol. It depends on the bear. I wouldn't do it.
And it depends on how far away you are from the bear.
I mean, unless I have, like, the best type of shotgun, I would not want to fuck with any type of bear with a gun. Like, especially a pistol. Like, oh no, I better be aiming for the head, and I hope this headshot does something to it, because otherwise I'm terrified.
I definitely wouldn't even go with a shotgun. If you're wanting to go with a handgun, I would recommend like a .454 Casull, possibly a Desert Eagle if you're that kind of person. But or something that shoots a rifle caliber out of a short arm, which isn't. I mean, that's not even technically a pistol anymore. But I'm pretty sure what he's shooting just look. I believe they look like 1911s, which at best, I think there are some models, maybe Springfield Arm shoots one that's like a .45. You got to be real, real close, and you got to throw a lot of bullets into that.
Yeah. A bear.
I wouldn't recommend it, is what I'm saying.
Feels terrifying.
But they actually do make bear pistols. That is a thing. They're incredibly high caliber pistols. Like I said, it's like a .454 for Casull. Like, it is a pistol that's specifically designed to stop bears at very short range. And even then, you better be quick.
Yeah.
This is our animal guy of the podcast.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You haven't met Cody yet. Lots of animal facts and lots of real-life experiences with animals.
Yes, very much so. Oh, I will show you the scars if you haven't seen them already. You've seen the one here where an antelope almost gored me, right?
Oh my god, I did not know that. Wow.
I'm not gonna tell that story. That's a whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't. he's already scarred Mike and I once.
I told
when we were
story.
Talking about Rise.
Check it out. It's right there. That one right there.
But one thing that kind of surprised me with this game is that it's, I think, what, broken into like four areas mainly, right, Rich?
Yes, it follows the same pattern that the original had. Your first area is Peru, and this is where one of the first things I noted, one of the differences that I liked about it. See, in the first one, you start off with a cutscene after, of course, accepting the deal from Natla, and you're going to a cave in Peru.
Vilcabamba, right?
Yeah, but it's just in the game, the first level is in the original, it was caves. This one, it was mountain caves. And in the original, the cutscene basically goes where Laura goes up, presses the button that opens the door. Her guide gets taken out by the wolves. She kills the wolves and heads in, and the door closes. In this one, you actually have to climb some of the cliffs and then get up there. It's part of your tutorial.
Yeah, that's cool they did that.
That was a very nice addition. I loved that.
Yeah.
And
so I didn't realize Peru had, I guess Peru has mountains. That's why it's cold.
Andes mountains.
My mom got to Peru in the 90s. And yeah, like she took a bunch of pictures and it was like amazing. It was, breathtaking.
I've only been on a mountain once and I don't want to.
Machu Picchu's in Peru, isn't it?
Yep, absolutely, yes.
My mom likes Machu Picchu.
So the reason I know about the fabled city of Vilcabamba is that was the destination you were trying to get to in the world-famous edutainment game Amazon Trail. I don't know if y'all ever played that.
I do not.
That was
I've never played it myself.
Oh, my gosh. Mike, next week we are playing Amazon Trail on Games My Mom. I will jump on there. It's a game about taking pictures of frogs for some reason.
I did enjoy some edumentation games when I was a kid, but
no, it's a very fun game. And you can beat it in about 45 minutes. So, again, short game when you need filler.
Peru stuff was fun. I liked the first area that you're at. I knew about the dinosaurs because I think everybody does at this point.
Well, that's level, that's three. I mean,
I did not expect to see a T-Rex show up in the Andes Mountains. That one, I knew nothing about this game. I don't know.
That's
how
good,
I missed
though.
Vilcabamba. That was I liked how they updated that look. They did keep some of what made that level so unique. I mean, you go up two towers to open open the path that leads you to the next level. Of course, there's some traps there along the way, but I don't think those were too bad in this one. But actually, with this one, you had to lower down two things, I think, to open the door, if I'm remembering right now.
Yes, I think so.
In the original, you had to pull levers to open doors, and then you pull lever one, open the tower to the next tower. Get up there, pull lever, open the middle door, and then run through and dodge the swinging blades, which they didn't necessarily have a lot of in this one, I think.
I'm okay with that.
I mean,
it had plenty of traps.
Oh, yeah. And then you move on to Lost Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And in the original, you go through the tunnel, you come to the area. Now, in the original, you go up to the machine that is supposed to reveal the tomb. And it needs three cogs in it, which are all pretty much hidden in the Lost Valley. Not in this case. Now they had, like, to advance through it, you had to find the cogs to move on. And you had to maneuver around, and the machine had to be partially working so you could maneuver. Now that's actually very brilliant in my mind. I like that. Of course, you didn't have as much swinging from ropes and vines, like they had in Last Revelation.
Very Tarzan.
I mean, I don't necessarily overly mind it, as long as you've got me. I mean, unless you got more saves and ability to saves in that case, or we're not going to make it too difficult. We're not going to put 20 of them in there. They're not going to do three in a row. And looking at you, Last Revelation.
The puzzles weren't too bad. Even like the venture puzzles or jumping puzzles, the only one that was really bad was the end of the game. The rest were not that bad.
Yeah, we'll get to them.
Yeah, for way later. But like, I thought the Peru stuff was pretty good. I know one of the complaints from the video that I was watching, but take this guy with a grain of salt, and I'll explain why in a second. But one, like, he complained that the T-Rex and the mummies and all that was cutscene. He didn't like that. He also didn't like that the T-Rex was an arena battle. This is also a guy who's drunk while recording the YouTube video, which that didn't bother me. The part that got me,
thing, Mike. Who would be?
Oh no, that was fine.
That wasn't. I know that.
My issue was that he shows his notes, and on his note he wrote, "Make the right wing happy" or something like that. And wow. I was like, why is this even there? Like, you don't know, like. Odd. It was just. It was just stupid, and I'm just like, oh,
yeah, that is kind of stupid in this
case. Yeah, I don't like that at all, you know?
That's the part where I was like, okay.
I need to add that to my notes. I have my own notes here.
But it was just to be edgy.
Right.
To be edgy. And it just was so, like, to me, it was just so stupid. So the guy's opinion was like, oh, and the guy was an idiot, too. He was really annoying me.
I mean, that's one of the neatest things about the first three Tomb Raider games. They always had a T-Rex battle in it.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Mike skipped over the one in the second game.
Oh, I did, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Chicken shit out of that one.
I don't even remember the second game. I know we did it for the show, like episode 50 something. I know it's the first one you were on.
Yeah, and I'm like,
I mean,
why are you skipped that?
Because I could.
Mike.
Yeah, it wasn't on the main path. That's why Mike. You avoid the main path. I found every damn secret using a walkthrough.
I.
But, make right happy. I'm sorry. I can't get over that. I'm sorry. Like, wow.
I mean, even now,
there's though the one guy I watch, he's doing that no loads, no meds. He's actually not trying to kill the T-Rex in the original, which is possible. I watched him do it.
Wait. You can get by that without killing the T-Rex
in the original game, not in this.
Oh,
one.
Okay. Just
in this one I was just filling him through full of lead. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And I couldn't master the roll technique, so I'm just...
Just re-extinct that son of a bitch. Just...
Yeah!
Yeah.
Well, this one is following the very much 360 era type gameplay.
QTEs, which are the bane of my existence, Mike.
This is why I love the...
Resident Evil 4, when you got me to play Resident Evil 4, it was almost perfect. It was almost the best game that I've ever played, Mike, in those goddamn QTEs. I do not fuck that.
Yeah, this is why the remake rules, because it got rid of those fucking things.
The QTEs were not in the original.
Okay. Oh, you're talking about the recent remake?
I'm talking about the remake of Resident Evil 4, sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have not played
that. They're in this one.
They are. That's the only downside of this battle, of the T-Rex battle. The QTE.
I disagree. Yeah.
Well, that's because you avoid the T-Rex battle in TR2, and you haven't played the original TR1.
Someday.
One day, I'm sure.
Someday. I mean...
Well, also,
they are good for certain things. I will say they're good for certain things.
Mario Party?
I didn't know.
I mean, there are certain things in this that the quick time events, I think, were good.
They're not overly done in this game. You only really use them for, like, the boss fights. And you know what? I was okay with doing the QTEs. I mean, they weren't, like, I've done a lot worse, and this wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
And they work. I mean, they're supposed to be very cinematic. Like, when she fights some of the guys... that she kills in the original, is that like actual boss fights then?
Somewhat like that. We'll get to them.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I didn't mind that. They're like, here, we're going to do QTEs to get you through these scenes really fast. And I'm like, you know what? It's fine. And this Laura doesn't want to kill humans, unlike the Laura in the games that I like more, where she's like, I'm killing everybody, but they deserve it.
Yeah. Turns into...
That's one thing. The original timeline, she was very, very badass. She didn't necessarily have qualms with killing people if she had to. This one is not, I mean, she's willing to wipe out mercs galore in the first game, in Legend, and even in Underworld.
But there was this,
Underworld yet.
But there was a scene in this, and I don't mean to skip too heavy. What was that? What was that blonde douchebag's name again?
Larson.
Larson. All right. There was that scene where spoiler, she has to kill him, and she looks at her own hand. What have I done? How can you have extincted, like, endangered? I like animals a lot more than I like other people, much less like Fred Durst and Michael Clark Duncan. If you have not played this game, that doesn't make any sense. But literally, you are destroying evidence of a lost civilization. You are killing spectacled bears, which are a threatened species in Peru. There's literal velociraptors. We can learn so much. And you're worried about this blonde douchebag?
Yeah.
Oh, what have I done? No. Kill him. Kill him with a rock. I don't
know. I mean, to be fair, he's trying to shoot her. I think if someone tried to shoot you...
Yeah, I wouldn't feel bad.
Kind of takes
that.
Away things there.
Shooting me. Fuck him. I'll shoot him back.
It's just because I'm from Texas that I'm like, no, Laura, you're 100% justified in that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the one thing that's a little off for this one. I mean, she doesn't want to kill people. Like, she doesn't want to kill a person that she knows or just a human being unless they are a serious threat. You,
but killing a guy that made fun of you for that Sasquatch shit. Okay, she was working hard on that story. That was a complete defamation. This makes no sense to anybody that's not played this game.
That's fine. Most people listen to episodes usually build a
context. I hope so. I hope they played this game. Or I've at least intrigued them to see what the hell I am talking about. This game really does have all of it. It has like implied nukes and Sasquatches and dinosaurs and the Lost City.
Atlantis?
Yeah, there it is. I don't know why I couldn't think of the name of this. But it's like fleshy and weird. Like, this game goes to so many fucking places when I think about this. It's a much weirder game than anybody, I think, gives it credit for. There are monsters and gorillas and all kinds. You know, when you really take a step back, Rich, this game is bananas. And I'm actually starting to like it more the more that I think about it.
Well, that's good. But I do have a question for you, Cody, that only you can answer. So how many guns can you legally own in Texas?
How many do you want?
Okay. Oh, so you're in a state where you can own all the guns you want, but you can't jack off the porn. So,
unless you got a VPN. Hey, what's up?
I had to make that joke, and they just passed that recently, and I'm just like,
also,
man.
Also, you can't be transgender. Like, you just...
I
am afraid to tell you how many firearms that I own. It's upwards of 15. But
holy shit! Wow.
Anyway,
yeah, I can't.
they all have. But also, like, officially, I live in Denver now, according to my internet.
I just had to
all
make
of
that
us
joke.
Want to get on the hub. No, all of us want to get on the hub now. I would love to see what the sales spikes were for virtual privacy
in Texas
networks after, like, when was that, Wednesday or something? I would love to see what the sales went up on those.
I mean, I already have a VPN because I always turn it on whenever I go sailing, so it's always there. But it cracked me up. And I'm like, man, have you not heard of VPNs?
TikTok gets banned, I'm going to officially be living, quote-unquote, in Iceland from now on. All of my videos are going to be tagged in Reykjavik, because officially I will live there, and I'm still going to keep making videos.
Nice.
Now we get back from leaving the Lost Valley. Here we enter the tomb of Wallapec.
You know, and my episodes of this show are the Tomb Raider of podcasts. It goes fucking everywhere, and none of it connects to anything. I love being on this show, Mike. Sorry. I just thought of that, Rich. Sorry.
Let's talk about it. We're talking about going all over the place here anyhow, and I'm comparing the past and the present because there's some nice things that they do. Now, the Tomb of Qualipec. In the original game, you had to open 3 gates to progress because you couldn't go up the main route because a big boulder comes down and a gate's in the way. This one did something very nice, I thought, with that. Because while you still have to throw the 3 switches, you actually have to move some things around. I mean, the boulder and that will wreck the floor or what's left of the floor. So you can actually move these pillars around so you can jump to where you have to go.
Okay.
And I swear, I had a hard time finding that one switch. Because I'm like, where the frick is this other switch? And then I look at it. Oh, it's up there. So I figure I'm going to have to climb up there eventually. Mm-hmm. But these switches were somewhat easier than in the original.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Because were, like in one room in the original, you have these pillars that can move when you pull the switches. So you can get over at the switch you need to pull. Of course, there's also spikes in the, you know, there's possible spikes in the way somewhere.
Right.
This time it wasn't that difficult because you could still, you know, you could jump to the switch. Another one, you got to go into this little, push this block in, push this block in, take a jump over there. Oh, by the way, that floor is going to fall away. You'll fall into spikes.
Or there might be a bear down there for some reason.
Well, no, wait, because Peru had the bears and the raptors and the T-Rex. Right.
And the wolves.
Okay, because Peru, you're trying to get the first part of the sea on, and then after you get you go to Greece.
Yeah, we'll get to Greece. The other one that they did keep, they kept this one the same. There's one switch you need to pull, but as you approach it, the floor falls away, and you're dropped into a room full of wolves. How they're still surviving there, that's Tomb Raider logic.
Of course.
But you have to work your way around to get up at the switch, pull the switch, and then move back. And then you go up the main path. You're not going into this room from the side like you do in the original. But you know Laura's uneasy going into there because, you know, you got what looks like the dead king, Qualipec.
Okay, this is at the end of Peru you're talking about.
Yeah, you have what looks like mummies there. And when you grab it, one of them reacts. But, of course, everything starts falling down, so you got to make a hasty escape. You actually see Qualipec get up.
Okay, I did not catch that.
That was neat in my book because you know that the one you in the first game, you know one of those mummies is going to move. And you can actually shoot it in the original game.
That's cool.
Yeah.
This time, it doesn't attack you. It doesn't even move until you would, quote, grab the piece of the ski on. But you can just fill it full of lead and it falls down.
Very, very Dead Space-esque. That was another thing that had that. It's like, oh, something's laying in the floor. I'm going to shoot it to make sure.
Yeah.
I'm bringing it all back around, Mike.
That's fine.
After you get it and you run out, because everything's starting to really fall apart there, you escape the tomb and you have an encounter with Larson, which in this one is done more as a series of QTEs, which I didn't mind that too much. That one was all right because it still advanced the story. Larson does not die in Peru.
He doesn't kill him until way later.
Yeah, you get him way later. Once, this is also where you learn that the other piece of the Skion is being sought after by
Pierre. The bald guy?
Pierre.
Yeah, they did him a disservice.
Cody.
The whole game. I love him. I love Pierre so goddamn much.
Disservice in this game.
I'm out to say better Tomb Raider than you.
He's so fucking stupid in this game.
I love him. I love him.
Yeah, he gets murdered, doesn't he?
But it's a little bit different in this one than it was in the original. But we're going to get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that. I mean...
Okay.
We have a similar cutscene to what Laura did in the original, which was the badass cutting of the elevator card cable, go sailing up, release at the right time so the momentum carries her up onto and lands on the roof.
I did like showing her the corporate espionage type thing where she breaks into the corporation.
Oh, yeah.
I did like that.
Yeah.
I mean, she also got to see what Larson was sending Natla beforehand, either beforehand or after that. Yeah.
And
that's
what sends you to Greece, right?
Yep.
So,
where we also have the comment, Pierre, you litter bug.
Animal question. Oh, yeah.
What were those tigers or what were we fighting in Greece?
Lions.
Lions.
Does Greece even have lions?
No. Historically, they used to, but like way long ago. So, I mean, kind of like the dinosaur thing where it's like an extinct species, but the Asiatic lion, which did used to be a thing, did extend as far as Greece, but I think those things went extinct a few thousand years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now, when we get to we start on Greece. So this was one where they actually cut down the levels.
Mm-hmm.
They merged two levels together towards the end. I mean, you start off going to St. Francis's Folly, and this is one where I have to commend them for correcting a serious mistake that they made in the first one.
Okay.
Well, somewhat serious mistakes. First off, well, when you first enter there, you have to trigger some things. In the original game, it's just pushing a block onto two Omega marks to open doors, and then, you know, go through and all that, and run into gorillas. Why are there gorillas in Greece? I don't know, because they didn't even know
I didn't think about that. There wouldn't be, right, Cody?
Yo, Cody!
Oh, did he walk away when I asked that question? Yeah, he did. It's fine. Yeah. There wouldn't be gorillas in Greece, right?
There could totally be gorillas in Greece.
In ancient Greece, though?
Yeah, of course. Why not?
Well, I was just saying, I just wondered what animals are
gorillas. No, not at all. That was the biggest trash. I mean, it's a bit weird to have Colosseum. It's more of a Rome thing.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, they didn't put gorillas even in the gladiatorial combats in Rome, but it's just kind of a fun thing to do, you know what I mean?
And we didn't necessarily know of majority of modern civilization didn't know gorillas existed until they actually found one.
That is actually a very astute thing it is hard to tell because a lot of history is lost, but I know that gorillas are a very recent quote-unquote discovery, even though the people already living there knew that they existed.
Yeah.
Similar. So folks will say
modern world.
Right. Folks will say, for instance, like the Okapi wasn't discovered until like 1901, but like the people living there knew about it. Like, so very,
yeah.
Until white dudes found it, it didn't really count.
Unfortunately.
Also Mount Everest. That's that same thing. Like Sir Edmund Hillary was not the first guy to climb that mountain. Just so you know, like a dozen Nepalese people did it first, but the first official dude was, of course, had to be the white dude. Sorry, that's a tangent. You know, actually, it does fit in very well to Tomb Raider, right? This thing has been lost to civilization. You know what? She might be kind of a monster the more that I think about it. I'm going back on the
thing.
I don't like it as much. I don't like it as much now.
Well, let's face it. I mean, we're talking about why these things are in these areas.
Right.
Yeah.
But St. Francis's Folly, you work through the first part of it, which makes it look so small. And then when you get through that part and you enter into the main part, big, true part of St. Francis's Folly, you are like, holy shit.
It was big. Is that St. Francis's Folly, is that the one with the giant, like, central room with the pillars and the water?
Yep. And you have to basically open every door. And this is where one of the best things, I think. They kept only two of the original names. Because original...
Yeah.
You had Neptune.
Okay.
You had Neptune, Atlas, Thor, and Damocles.
Okay, so two of those aren't Greek.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
That's right.
Yeah. So
mixed it in this one instead of, it's now Poseidon, Atlas, Hephaestus, and Damocles.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
It should also be noted, one of those isn't really a god.
But Damocles, he does seem to be a bit of the odd one out there.
But they worked it. They still kept some of the challenges the same for some of them.
Okay.
Neptune was the only one they seriously changed because in the original, that is a dive straight down, pull switch, grab key, get up.
Okay.
And that's on one breath of air.
The underwater stuff wasn't too bad. Greece is when the game is starting to grow on me a bit more because I wasn't having a ton of fun at first, but I was starting to get more into it. Like, I know when I was watching some videos, not the cranky guy, like, where they compared a lot, like, the idea with this game is they wanted to make, like, Indiana Jones-type adventure, and that's one of the reasons why we have a female character, because then there was no copyright issues or worry about people trying to say, you're like, you know.
Yeah, because LucasArts could be, George Lucas, they didn't, he doesn't hand out the rights to everybody.
Right.
Except Disney, who offered him enough money.
A lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Atlas puzzle was pretty much the same. Although I liked how you had to figure out a little puzzle just to get into each of the rooms. I liked that.
They weren't too bad. I didn't have a guide up at first. I think it was Egypt when the game kind of broke me. Or no, wait, I had a guide for the Midas stuff. So it was around the Midas stuff when I finally said, okay, I need to use a guide because I don't have time for this.
I used a guide from the very start of this. Ain't nobody got time to not use a guide.
I did not use a guide until I was getting close to the end.
What
and
am I?
It was just to try and get past that one jump.
What am I, a fucking nerd? Oh, wait.
Yeah, I was going to say, all of us are. We're on a video. We are four dudes sitting down on a Saturday night talking about video games.
Video games!
And unfortunately, I'm not drinking with you.
Dude. You could change that, Mike.
The Atlas puzzle was basically trying to avoid a rolling boulder or something like that.
Hey, if I tell my wife I can't pick you up from work, I decided to drink because of the podcast, I can tell you that the words that come out of her mouth will not be friendly.
Tell her I said it's fine. Tell her I said it's fine.
Chuck
The Hephaestus one, they kept that somewhat similar. A giant hammer crashing down.
I did like that.
And getting past, of course, also, before you get to that, you're getting past that electric, that big thing shooting out electric bolts at the floor.
That wasn't too bad.
I like that they changed that floor to be uneven.
It was a good Greek puzzle, and it just everything with the Greek stuff did feel good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I had a hard time with that room. I think this is the room that broke me, where I then started using a guide, because it was just so much of up and down, and I didn't like what was happening, so I'm like, I'm too confused, where I need a guide. But I didn't have to use a video guide. I was able just to use a written guide and copy what they did. Like, there was a game that when I did Phantom Hourglass last week for the show, I had to, like, freaking watch a video guide and do scene by scene at certain points.
Yeah,
certain temple. See, Ocean Temple
did that. I had the booklet for that one, and I'm still was playing it mostly just using it as just remind me, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, at first, it wasn't too bad, but then some of the puzzles do get kind of harder.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to them. I mean, the last one in Francis Folly, the Sword of Damocles, that one was very true to what the original one had. Although it was a little bit more, you had to do a little bit more parkouring.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be parkouring a bunch of shit, like.
Yeah.
And I don't dislike the grapple and the wall run. I actually like that.
Yeah, same.
I like that more than the damn swinging on ropes.
I didn't mind the grapple. I just didn't like jumping off a wall because I never really understood how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
I still don't.
Could be it was tricky for in some places.
I did it, but I don't know what I did that made it work.
Yeah.
I like the sensation of like when you shoot your rope and you attach something and then you go swinging. I like that, except for the part where you have to jump and then push square, like, or whatever the button is for the PC version. Like, that part was just like, but once I'm actually swinging, it's like, oh, this is awesome. This is so much fun. Holy shit. Yeah. Like, this is cool.
Now, after we get clear St. Francis's Folly, we move on to the Colosseum.
Right.
There wasn't a whole lot there. Just some annoying climbing.
It was
more Harambe majestic
than in the original.
Okay.
Forgot about
Harambe. In this one, it's round, and you're coming out into it instead of, you know, walking up a pathway to it and seeing it from overhead and then going down in the Colosseum.
Mm-hmm.
This was a lot nicer. I think I like that a lot better. I mean, you had also the swing grapple points, which I didn't mind too much, again, because it's a lot different than swinging from rope to rope.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. But the grapple, I didn't mind it for the most part.
Yeah. And this is another, they still had some of the little puzzles there for it, but they were easier to figure out. Not,
right.
But of course, also, there's one thing that's been missing from these levels, too. In the original, Pierre would sometimes appear out of nowhere and start taking pot shots at you, and you had to scare him off.
That'd be annoying.
Oh, no.
It was a lot more, it's more of a race that you know where the other person is. And then sometimes he always somehow gets ahead of you, so, you know.
The Midas stuff was interesting in this place.
Oh, yes. The Midas is actually... Midas Palace one is a lot different from the original, because in one, to get at the lead bars, you have to open doors, which requires pulling certain levers in a central room.
Okay.
Oh, and Cody, you might be happy to know that we actually do have a decent amount of French listeners, it looks like. So you might, a French listener might listen to this episode.
I am also, not because I'm Canadian, but because literally my dad was, I am also one half French on my dad's side.
And Canada's.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
He's sweet Cajun, if you couldn't tell by my last name. So I love this.
But
I am Cajun as Cajun can be. So very, very happy to have some French.
Hell yeah. A good portion of my dad's side of the family, pretty much almost all lived in New Brunswick, Canada. So, yeah, I do have some French blood in me as well.
So,
I'm Polish.
In Midas Palace, when we reached that, I loved how this looked. I love that we actually see a decent statue of Midas. In the first game, it's only, there's his feet!
Oh, that's all it is?
Yeah, and there's a hand on the ground that if you stand in the hand in the original game, you turn to gold.
I didn't do it in this one because I just didn't feel like dying, but I did see it, so I was good enough. I saw a video.
It doesn't matter if you don't want to die, you do it.
You gotta do it, Mike.
You gotta do it.
And you can unlock the costume where you can play the game where she's...
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. They add that into some.
I was never going to play this game again.
Tomb Raider games.
So there was that.
Yeah, but in this one, you have to find each time you find a brick, you can actually place it in there. And I think it's some. I don't remember if you unlock the next path or not when you place one in, or if you can do them all at once. But it opens the path to your next level.
Right.
I mean, there's one. There is a challenge at. A lot of people can complain about too in the original Midas Palace, and they replace it with a big vast room, which I think is actually neat. I didn't have a hard time with it. Of course, I wasn't necessarily going for every secret in the game.
No, there's a lot. I only got a couple here and there. I didn't really bother to go for secrets because
I got them if I could spot them and I can easily get to them.
Yeah, some were real. There were a couple that were difficult as hell.
But, I did not seek out those at all. But the ones that I did find, the noise that it makes, I don't know if like hits some part of your brain like that. The secret sound, like when you collect one. I know that it feels good. Like I want to have that in my life when I accomplish something.
Yeah, that's a throwback to the original.
Oh, okay.
And I was
because
also
if you
like,
enter a secret area, you're like bling.
The stuff with the Midas touch, like I don't know if I would have thought about putting those blocks on there to turn gold. I don't know if my brain would have just thought. I thought that was cool. I mean, the guy told me, but I wonder. I don't know how long would it take me to.
Ask you this: before you ever played the games, did you ever hear the story of Midas?
Well, I knew the story, but I didn't think that the game would have actually have. Except maybe I would have stepped on the hand, figured it out real fast. But I don't know. There were a couple times where I'm like, yeah, my brain wouldn't have thought of this.
Yeah, I liked how this one was set up, of course, and. Like I said, the flame puzzle in the original. In the original, you cross a line, the flames go out. You must get across by jumping from pillar to pillar, one off center, to the end, before the flames turn on again.
Yeah.
And the last one, you actually have to grab to catch on.
Okay.
In this one, this was more figuring out how to get around to each next step to advance and to get the item you need. That was fun to me. They kept in there the one where you have to pull out the block to cause the column to collapse, and then all the sand goes all over the place. They kept that one in. That was a very nice touch, too. And they also kept in something similar to the other room that you have to go through.
Okay.
Which is platforms surrounded by spikes. Okay. So I don't like that they made them a time jump type thing.
They did that a few times here in the game.
Although this one wasn't as bad as other sects, which we'll get to.
Yes.
But, I had some issues.
You know, they were trying, but they weren't too hard.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like you needed a checkpoint to get past each part of it. It's just, you're not going to, unless you're very low on health or very stupid, you're not going to die in that area.
Well, speaking of stupid, I want to talk about the end of Greece, because I did something really stupid. I don't think I would have figured out without the guide. So I'll let you do the story part, but I'll just want to say my experience first. So when you get out through the story part, when you get to Greece and she meets the French bastard, and he takes the sign and runs away, doesn't he get then murdered because the centaurs come to life and
turn
him?
Yes. We got to get to that.
Stomping mud holes in my beloved Frenchman. Oh, I do.
See, that's in the Timothy Hoken.
And then throws the MacGuffin at her. It was great.
That. Like, he's like, I'll save myself. Here, you take it. Then they kill him anyway.
Yeah. But in the Tomb of Teoken, which is the first one where they really merged levels together.
Right.
Okay. They merged the cistern and the tomb.
Right.
So you didn't have some of the puzzles that you had to deal with in the original.
Okay.
The cistern, they kept relatively simple. You got to adjust the water, but you got to do it in the proper way and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that one was not too bad. I think that was a little bit better than the original because it wasn't as time consuming.
Right.
But then when you get down to the Tomb of Teoken and have to go underwater to pull the switch to open things. In the original, the centaurs don't come to life right away. Well, the one will as you approach.
Right.
Not both of them at once, just one.
Okay.
Then you go into the tomb. You have a little shootout with Pierre, which didn't happen this time because when Laura reads the hieroglyphs, it's after she takes care of Pierre, which, again, they did this man a disservice. In the original, he's got a full head of hair. He's a bit younger. He's more, he He looks more like he's been running around a bit.
This okay.
I didn't mind the bald guy.
I liked him. He was my favorite character in this whole game. Him and Fred Durst, a.k.a. Malibu's Most Wanted.
Pierre's a little bit more... He shows he's definitely smarter than Larson in the original timeline.
Right. Okay.
Oh, but to speak to my dumb thing I did with the centaurs, I kept shooting them and shooting them. I did not realize... I'm like, man, I'm not hurting. What the hell am I doing wrong that I had to grab the shield... And then use said shield to then turn him to stone to hurt him. Like, it took me a bit.
Yeah, I had trouble with that at first, too. Yeah. But in the original, you don't even have to fight the second centaur. You don't even have to fight the first one. You can just run past him. And you're the one who eliminates Pierre. In this one, he gets stomped by the centaurs, yes. And then you have to fight them and, you know, get that shield. And it took me forever to catch on to that part. I know I have to, you know, get that done. But it was such a pain in the ass to get done. But we got it done.
Yep.
But that's a kill that was normally Laura's doing in the first one, in the original.
Right.
So now she doesn't kill him.
She didn't do it.
No, she doesn't kill him in this one. In the original, yeah.
Straight up stone cold murder. I love it.
Yeah, but now we also get more, we learn more about the two tombs, about where the third one is. And, you know, you start getting an idea if you are unaware of how this story plays out. That there was an Atlantean civilization that was ruled by three leaders.
And it was dark. It was cruel. I love it. Like, I love that aspect of it.
It looked like monsters, the people that you see.
Right. Well, like, most of the time when you see this in fiction, it's like anachronistic technology. It's like a lost, advanced the civilization. This is something that is out of Alien. Like, I love that the civilization is probably better for the entire world that they were lost, because these were not good creatures or people or what. I mean, she's like a bat lady, so I assume the rest of them like that. I don't know.
It's revealed that these genetic creations.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Created by her. Because she was not necessarily too thrilled with how things were, and she just wanted to make things more fiercer. And she did this without permission.
Oh, that's why she's being banished, right?
You see? Oh, okay.
Exactly. And she even wounded one of them.
Okay, that makes more sense then.
Yeah.
But she also, are the other two immortal too? She's obviously immortal.
She was put into a stasis.
Oh, okay, that's why she didn't age. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Pay enough attention.
Yeah, that was her punishment, to be eternally frozen in time.
Oh, that doesn't seem like a terrible punishment. You freeze me in time, I'll wake up in the future.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, but she wasn't supposed to be broken out of the stasis.
Yeah, eventually you will be. There's a time in my life where I could have got to be put in stasis, but not now. But there was a time.
But now we move on to Egypt and the Temple of Khamun and the Obelisk of Khamun.
Yeah, I liked Egypt a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, these were very nicely done levels.
Yeah, you know, aesthetically, this whole game is a lot better than I expected it to look for a game in 2007.
Yeah. I mean, there are tricky parts of it, like going through that one hallway where you have to basically, you have to bring out those statues, get on top, jump across the top of them. That was a bit of a pain in the ass, because that wasn't in the original.
Okay.
Oh, I have another... animal question for Cody.
Ask away.
So are there alligators or crocodiles, whatever these are, in Egypt?
Oh, absolutely. There are Niloticus. Crocodilus Niloticus. So much so. That's actually the one on my arm is a Nile crocodile. That's actually a real thing.
That makes sense. Yep. I didn't even think about the Nile.
Yep. The Nile has the second largest species of crocodile in the world after the saltwater croc of Southeast Asia. And they are man-eaters. They are absolute man-eaters. I used to take care of them a lifetime ago.
I saw you on TikTok or Instagram talking to one of them in Florida.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You saw me. Which that video is going to come up with me and Cam in the Everglades soon. But that was an American alligator that I was about, I don't know, maybe 5 foot close to, like right up at the water. Yeah, that one is that one, because I have no good sense whatsoever as somebody that's been bitten by a thunder lizard before. Not telling that story either. But I got within about 5 foot of a 7 foot gator, and I like started to reach my hand out towards its snout, and Cam like grabs my. She's like, "No,
good job for her.
Stop it.
Good lord.
This is what the women that I pick to have in my life is ones that keep me from getting bitten by alligators again." But yeah, no, yeah. Nile Crocs as opposed to alligators are man eaters. They will eat anything, whereas alligators are opportunistic biters. So this game did get it correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
As I also like that this was. This level, the first two levels of this, I think, were beautifully done. I mean, when you're trying to work your way through things, the puzzles pretty much remain the same. I mean, you've got time, you've got jumps that you have to do some platforming on, although I didn't necessarily like it that in the first part that one, those sets of levels were like, we're going to slowly recline back because there's weight on us. Then they don't recede back when they drop a heavy weight on it.
Yeah.
I had a hard time, though, getting past that one part of the level before the obelisk because I could not lock onto the right ring to pull it down.
Yeah.
I had a lot of issues that up, grappling in this game and locking onto things.
Yeah. These were nicely done. They kept the Egyptian vibe, the ancient Egyptian vibe. You move on to the obelisk. They kept that one pretty much the same. Similar puzzles, although that one jump in that one area was a bitch to get done. I got it eventually, but, you know.
There were some issues. There were parts in this game where I'm like, man, I wish I had save state so I could just save in mid-jump, like in between little parts or at the checkpoint.
Yeah. Area. No, I get that. Yeah.
And I could have. I played this on PS2 emulation and not, but I wanted to play the PC version on a Steam Deck.
Yeah. I mean, you could pull the switches to drop the bridges, run over, get the stuff, jump down in the water, swim through the tunnel, come back up right where the mini obelisk is and put those things in place and move on to the sanctuary of Skion or Skion or whatever.
Yeah.
This.
Because she has no idea what the three Skion pieces even do, if I'm remembering correctly. Like, she doesn't really know.
Yeah, she doesn't know. Even her father didn't fully know, but he knew it was bad if they got a hold, if Natla got a hold of them.
Okay.
I thought she was just trying to get paid.
Why not? Yeah.
Well, it is mentioned to Laura in this one's intro cutscene that it was the Skion is what her it's mentioned in one of them that her father was after it. And this is also why Natla was not necessarily going to 100% trust her to claim it.
That's why she sent the French man and the other idiots. I can't do a French accent.
I'll do that every time you bring up Pierre.
Now we move on to the sanctuary. And this is a level. I love the puzzles. I love that they were a little bit more complex to get the Ankh than in the original. In the original, you just find find a switch, pull the switch, open the door, go in there.
As you do.
Get the key that's in that nearby room or whatever. Jump up to where you got to wipe out the thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then grab the Ankh and continue on back. The thing is, the disservice they did to this was when you enter that room.
Mm-hmm.
In the original, you climb up some steps and then come out on the back of a giant sphinx.
Yes, which is dope.
Dope. Yeah, dope as hell. This one wasn't that big.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't get that same awe and wonder in that level.
Okay.
I mean, they make up for it for those puzzles where you have to raise those mini obelisks up so that they lock them into place and then shine the lamp, pull the lever so the prism comes down, shine the lights, open up the door. I love that. That was a brilliantly done puzzle.
Yeah.
Those were good. I didn't even mind doing it twice.
Yeah, I didn't mind at all.
And they kept the giant underwater sitting statues, worked those out a little bit better. Like, you got to shoot these in this order or get these things in this order to open up the progress.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of you have a long hallway to where the Skion is.
Mm-hmm.
In the original, you go up the circular hallway, fight some more Atlanteans, then go into the room where the Skion is. No, they're in that room with the Skion because that's another puzzle you have to work your way through, and you have to have those priors gone.
Those mummies are Atlanteans?
They're mummified Atlanteans.
Oh, I didn't. That is cool. Okay, I did not put. Yeah. Did the game tell me that, and I didn't pay attention?
It could have been that they sent them there to protect
the wiki. Machines. Told me that, to be fair.
Okay.
But
what's wrong with that?
I don't know if the game told me that or not.
I mean, you have to fight all these Atlanteans in this for an anniversary.
Right.
And then work your way around all those pillars, get to the opposite side of the room, to put the ski on pieces in to get the third piece of the ski on.
Right.
In the original, after you climb up this spiral walkway, wipe out some more Atlanteans, and then go into the room where the ski-on is, Larson's there!
Larson's the blonde guy that you've murdered.
Yeah.
You murder him here?
He's the blonde douchebag guy.
You murder him in the original, you basically kill him in the sanctuary of the ski-on.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
You don't necessarily have to. You could just run by him and grab it, and you're done with the level. But it's basically stated that you leave him sucking wind.
The water stuff was cool, where you had to like raise and lower the water in that last puzzle. Like, that was a cool puzzle. I was getting very irritated with it, but it was cool.
Yeah, it's a cool concept.
It's like Egypt was nicely done throughout the whole game, and then they fumble the ball because we're not going to give you a fantastically large Sphinx. We're going to give you this more minor one. And at least you don't have an invisible ledge to grab the Uzis off of. No, they just swing twice.
I know you're talking about because of YouTube.
Yeah.
I wouldn't otherwise, but yeah, apparently there was an Uzis at one point in the original game, right?
Uzis on the Sphinx, just like in real life.
Yeah, just go to the Sphinx and you'll find an Uzi. It's just there.
It's called Tomb Raider logic.
Yes, you would.
It's called.
It's probably fully loaded with ammo and everything. It's ready for you. It's just like, all right, cool,
exactly
Uzi.
Right. Exactly.
But when you leave that after finally getting the full image of Natla, basically turned on her fellow rulers.
Oh.
And she injured the one. Basically, I think she ruined his throat or something like that. That's why they put her in the stasis. She basically betrayed. And it's what also triggered what they called the curse of the continent.
Okay.
With Landis going underwater.
Yeah. Okay. That
makes sense.
So now, after you have that vision, Laura coming out of the darkened cave, and after having this vision, she's faced by figures that are standing there. And for the first time, we get names for these those figures.
Right.
Although they're referred to in the biographies as Cold and the Kid. You have to read them to really get more.
Oh, that's the Fred Durst guy, right, that you're talking about?
Oh, yeah. That is Malibu's Most Wanted. That's a very crisp reference for any millennials out there.
Yes.
The white gangster guy, along with Michael Clark Duncan, who's kind of talks like Shaft, though. I know, I loved it. No, I loved it. I love that you had those three characters kind of all next to each other. It was great.
Now, you see
Larson or whatever, and then Kane or whatever, and then just the Kid. I have no idea why they were next to each other, but it's brilliant, and I need no explanation.
Now, in the original, there was another one there, because Larson's, of course, sucking wind inside the honest guy that they just called a cowboy.
Wait, there was a cowboy?
In the original.
Oh, my. Wait. So this remake, just hang on, Rich. They robbed us of the village people? We had a cowboy and a guy. Are you fucking kidding me? That sounds like an awesome rogues gallery.
A police officer. What else? Construction worker.
Put him right in the middle of that. Indian chief. My God. Leather Daddy. I don't know why there was a kinky Leather Daddy in that group.
Well, you see, in the original, this is where Laura gets, quote, totally disarmed. She manages to pull off an escape and then get on a motorcycle and race and jump with the motorcycle and manage to dive in the water and get to the boat, to Natla's boat, and hitch a ride to the Lost Island where Atlantis
is. Indiana Jones, got it, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Instead of a sub, it's a boat.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
I was not happy when they took away my weapons. I was not happy at all.
They do it in the original three games. They did it once a game.
I did not like it in two, but I did not remember it was in two. So you see, so yeah, time had passed.
I don't like when games do that in general, where it like takes
yeah,
stuff away.
I know.
Of the first three Tomb Raider games, they had a lose all your weapons level.
Oh, we understand. It's
and
just
they had a Tyrannosaurus fight. And
well, the Tyrannosaurus fight is rad, and taking away all of your weapons is some bullshit. So, one of these things got to go, Rich.
But who was the boss? Was there a boss for Egypt or not really?
No, it's just that room full of Atlantean creatures that you have to kill and then get the ski on.
I'm all right that they did that, too. Like, I mean, had the game came out later, Well, how the game came out earlier, I feel like it would have forced a boss fight in there.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, that was that is Larson. But again, you can in the original, you can actually run past that. All you gotta do is grab the ski on and the game and the level's run done. But yeah, now you have to go through Natla's mines, which is I like this one a little bit better than the original. The original, you are double backing all over the place at least 2, 3, 4 times just so you could get 3 fuses, which you still have to get 3 fuses, but at least this one, it makes a little more sense to each do something different or power something different.
I would have been okay had it just been get all 3 and then you open up the door. I'd have been okay with that too, but you are right.
You do get your guns back, your pistols, and then you each reclaim each weapon as you move along. In this one, once you get all the fuses in and get your guns, before you are able, you have to move a little train over so you can then break through and move on to Atlantis proper. Larson then shows up. Now, in the original version, this wouldn't be Larson. This would have been the cowboy.
Cowboy.
Yeah, in the original, you defeat the cowboy and you get the magnums back.
Yeah.
But in this one, no, you have to fight Larson. And it's more done like I think that one was more done like a quick time event.
It was here for sure.
Yeah, I know. It definitely was in this type of thing. So I was a little bit frustrated with it.
Yeah. It's the only human kill Laura has in this game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the mummies used to be humans, maybe.
Eh, that's more of a monster.
But they're like undead.
Yeah, that's more a monster line. We're talking living human beings.
Like living human beings, not used to be alive. Okay.
Yes.
Not an undead court.
It's showing that.
Yeah.
It also shows that she wants to try and reason more than kill. I mean, you got a bunch of armed mercs shooting at you. You can't necessarily reason with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One-on-one. She's going to want to try and disarm you and maybe reason with you, not up and kill you right out.
Right.
Yes.
But
I think it's kind of cool that in this, she's not wanting to be a killer versus like the lore that I know more is the survivor one where she feels bad at first, but she has to survive. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was cool to see that it was a different take before that storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why it's. They tone down the badassness, but they still have the survival situation, except she didn't necessarily go through the survival situation alone, per se.
Makes sense.
I mean, I'm still working my way through Legend, so.
Fair.
The mines were cool, too. It's the only time that in this whole game where rats were actually an issue because I didn't have guns for that bit. I remember thinking that. Like, I liked the puzzles. I liked how I had to, like, drop that box down and do some things. Out, and then you get the cart with, like, a drill on it or something that you just get to ride. Like, that was the mine cart. That was fun.
Yeah. And you have to work your way around through it all until you get up to the pyramid entrance. And that's where you run into the kid and Cold, and that is done as a quick time event, which is a lot better in my
God.
Because in the original, you actually have to fight them individually after parkouring through some tough areas.
That would be annoying.
Yeah. I mean, you still have to do the parkour jumping style thing to get into the pyramid. But in the original, you first have to fight the kid and he's skateboarding around this area, which,
what the fuck?
Again, watching this,
why not?
Someone play the original. This area has lava pits in it, and he's skateboarding around. I'm like, how the is he not basically falling in?
Because he's totally radical, dude.
He's Fred Durst. That's why.
Yeah,
exactly. Durst. Yeah.
That is pretty
awesome. So, Rich, is the pyramids what broke you, isn't it?
Yeah, that broke me. But we're almost there. I mean, just to get in the pyramid, that was no problem. You're jumping from pillar to pillar, causing certain ones to lower the trigger so you can pull the switch to open it up. There in the original, you have to jump on certain spots, which won't let you slide down so you can find the key to it, put it in, or open up where the key is and put it in, put the key in to open the pyramid. This was pretty much, very much like the original in certain ways. I mean, you're fighting the Atlanteans that bust out of pods. They are fucking ugly looking.
Yeah.
They're fucking beastal.
Yes, I liked it, though.
Yeah.
I liked them.
And
I didn't
some
like
of them, they just are so brutal. It's like, boom, fireball, down. Okay, I'm getting a boom, fireball, down.
I fell so many times to my death on top in some of those parts. Like, I was thankful that every time you got through, like, a jumping section, you got a checkpoint. Like, that was so nice.
See, that jumping section in the original, you could save as you work your way up, and you didn't necessarily climb it all at the same time. You just had to go through a little puzzle room or something in between each up the level. You did more advancing upwards through that and then jumping across to the next area than you did in climbing up in the center. No, what do they do in here? They take a page out of the ever-popular What Do They Really Want? Close-ass time sections.
Well, it's very Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, Warrior Within type stuff, except not as good, because you don't have the control, in my opinion, that you need to have that type of platforming. Like, I died so many times when you have to swing with a grappling hook and jump off a wall, and the controls are just not there for it.
Right. That is what was really getting to me. I mean, honestly, I was trying to do that section. The second the cat is getting ready to jump, just like we do in Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
I know there's another one around here somewhere. I just can't find it. Hey, Matt Fatty should not be on top of that kitty tower, for those that are watching the video on Patreon. He should not be on there. But
that second one. You know, I don't mind the time sections if they're not, you know, we're going to make this as close as possible that if you fart at the wrong time, you're screwed.
Right?
That is accurate.
No, you're right.
We've seen all these Tomb Raider level editor things. We need the close-ass sections. They love them.
Somebody might.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It wasn't me.
How bad? I have been, for the longest time, anytime I play a game on the computer, mouse and keyboard. This section broke me. I bought a controller because I could not pull that section off with keyboard.
Broke you. Nope, I actually did Well, obviously with the Xbox, but I cannot do this kind of stuff with that. But no, most games that I do, even on the PC, you know, isn't it funny that, like, I don't think that there's a better controller that's been made other than the one for the Xbox One. Like, that thing was made
on the Game Boy the GameCube.
Right, but I'm just saying there's something about this, and I'm holding it up.
Those things are great. Those things are so good.
Like, just for the PC, I'm telling you.
So strange to me that, like, the 360 controller fucking sucks, but, like, Microsoft was like, oh, sorry, we'll fix it, and they actually did, and they made a much better controller.
Like, it is flawless for playing on a PC, and it's something that was made, what? Like, it's coming up on, what, 15 years at least this thing has been out? I'm not sure that we've made...
Xbox One isn't that old.
Much better. No. Is Xbox One not that old? I don't know.
No.
Xbox One is like 11 years old, I think, at this point.
But still, the better part of a decade.
We have
not come up with something that's significantly better than this in 10 years.
The only other thing I can think of for, especially like a PC controller, is like, this is going to sound a little odd to some people because they're like super cheap, but like those little $20 Logitech game pads, like those ones with the... The D-pad on them is usually pretty solid. They're reminiscent of the Sega Genesis controller. The button layout's good. Like, they have a digital... they have two modes in the little back with a switch where you can turn it to the X mode or D mode. And if you're playing a modern game, switch it to X mode. If you're playing a retro emulator game, put it to D mode.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're fantastic. And they're only, like, $20. So
you're learning something new.
They're good controllers.
You learned something new.
I used to use when I first got into ROMs. My cheap ass had a Logitech controller.
They're super cheap. You can get them off of Amazon, anywhere, computer stores, wherever.
I have a fake 360 and a fake PS3 controller that I use for my games.
That's
nice.
But as we get to the top of the pyramid, they did keep one beautiful little thing in there for that. What the fans for a market love to call Bacon Laura.
Yes, the meat lady.
You call the doppelganger thing?
Yep.
She felt so mean. You dump her in the lava. You make her extra crispy.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry. She comes back a little bit better in Underworld.
Oh.
And
that's,
eat her.
Oh.
2025, something to look forward to.
Won't be this year. I filled up this year and I didn't bother. I'm like, oh, well.
Is she still extra crispy? Get some barbecue sauce.
No, she looks more like Laura.
Not mad. Oh, no.
Yeah, no, she's like an evil Laura. And from what I remember people talking about.
Causes some serious issues for Laura in the Underworld. And there's also DLC, I think, where you can play as her.
Ooh, okay.
I think. I'm trying to remember. I haven't played it yet, and I'm not really looking more into that. But then you get up to the top. Don't see the... I don't think you really see the thrones, which is a sad thing, but you still have the... But at least it's not a time puzzle for to get into the chamber where the Skion is. And then we get to a different, definite change in the story. Like in the original, you know, Nahtla does not look in her... She looks more her business persona face in the original. In this one, she looks more like Queen of Atlantis.
Yes.
And a demon. Like a very demoness type look.
Yeah.
And this point, she's like wearing some nice clothes too. So she sewed those at some point.
Regal. Yeah.
Regal. Or they've been sitting around for 5,000 years. I don't know. Either way.
But, you know, Laura then goes to blast the Skion. I think actually she's successful with it here, I think. In the original, she's stopped by Nahtla, knocked off the pillar, and then onto the giant platform with the big thing.
And then,
going for apparent doom.
And then Laura and the Bat Lady, was this around the time that they had the conversation of the, you're not so different, you and I, join me and we'll rule the world.
Yeah, because
and,
that's added to it. That from
like, the, what the hell does Bat Lady want with Laura Croft? She's just like a gal. Like, she has no special abilities. She can just climb shit and kind of shoot a gun okay. I have no idea what skills she's bringing to the table that she's trying to recruit her for.
She sees that Laura is smart like her father, resilient and ruthless to a degree.
Her Bat Lady is literally a witch god. Like, what the fuck do you need Laura Croft for if you're witch goddess?
Nahtla was like, you impressed me.
Okay, fair.
I'll give you the chance.
Also, she's like, I mean, when you consider the other three dudes that she hired, then yeah, okay, it kind of makes sense. She just picks out whoever's right in front of her.
Either that or something impresses her about either their ruthlessness or something like that.
Something like that. She killed one man and suddenly...
I think it's more, I mean, yeah.
There are biker gangs with stricter initiations than a literal bat goddess.
Yeah, you also got all these things jumping around, mean-ass bitches, some shooting fireballs, this, that, and the other thing, and Laura just smoked them all.
You know what? That is fair. She is not afraid to completely wipe out entire species of silverback gorillas off the face of the earth. She's
or dinosaurs.
Cold.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs. She probably killed the last one.
Well, that's also mentioning the thing, too, because it's just like, if like the games are set in like a then modern day of like the 90s, like how the fuck have those dinosaurs been living? Like,
you know what? Like
Amber.
finds a way. We all know that.
Yeah.
True.
Mm-hmm. That's all I can think of.
God, my.
And then we
I love that movie.
The,
like, okay.
The final parts of it.
It's a masterpiece.
Yeah, we get into the final parts. First, you battle the big thing. This battle was a lot more thinker than the original one. In the original, you just jump, avoid the claws, don't jump off the platform and fall to your death.
This is the big meat sack thing without legs, right?
Yeah, I forgot this was in the game, and when Rich just said it, I'm like, what is he talking about? Then my video got to him like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, like what is that thing supposed to be? Was that explained? And I just was drunk.
That was the big creation.
Homunculus.
Probably would be part of her army. Okay. I mean, imagine if a bunch of these got loose in the world.
You know what? That would be bad news bears. I totally get it. Okay.
And this is where I like this one better because it was not so easy for Laura to necessarily mistakenly fall off the platform. But my God, it surprised me that as I'm fighting the thing, the damn thing managed to grab me and swallow me.
I didn't know it could.
Yeah, I shot my way out.
I just jumped around and shot that thing.
Yeah.
Same.
And that was a little bit trickier because you actually had to wound its arms to basically be able to knock it off the damn platform into lava.
Okay.
Where in the original, you just shot until it went kerblooey.
Okay, that makes sense.
I didn't mind shooting the hand and making it fall in the lava and any of that. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, that's a puzzle boss, as we say in the business. Yeah, and those are fun. Similar to your centaurs, right? Those are puzzle bosses.
Yeah. Of course, then you're fighting your way down, trying to escape, working through other puzzles while blasting Atlanteans, figuring out how to open these paths. And then you finally enter the final part where you fight Nattla.
With maybe my favorite line in the entire game, and y'all know the exact one that I'm talking about, right?
I'm trying to remember all of that.
I don't remember what happens.
There is a line during this fight where she goes, you're going to get, you can't kill me. Eventually, you're going to run out of bullets. And I'm like, I can't run out of bullets. Like,
bitch, please.
Like, come on. Like, literally, that's the one thing in this game.
I ran out of all my limited bullets trying to
fight. Oh, yeah, definitely. Me too. You can... Yeah, I definitely did. And I like that the wings were independent of each other. I thought that was kind of fun. Oh, yeah,
that was a nice little touch. I mean, in the original, you're in a room full of pillars that actually you have to jump from to get out of the level at the end of the game after kicking her ass twice. But they did follow that term. First, she's able to fly about, so you got to clip her wings.
Right.
Then you got to fill her full of lead until she falls over. But in this one, it was a little bit different, and it took me a few tries before I figured out the trick. Her weak spot was on her back.
Yeah.
Same. I had a huge problem with this part. I was going back and forth just shooting, and it wasn't until I think I watched a video where I realized you just have to, like, because I would do the twist, but it didn't do anything. I wouldn't get the back, and then I watched the video where he ran at her and jumped over her and then shot in the back, and then I beat her in no time. And I'm like, wow. Yeah.
Makes sense.
I figured it out, and I just, like, I'm going to have to just basically shoot her. So I was trying to watch which hand she led with.
Right.
Because that would be the one where I have to get onto that side to shoot her in the back. And then it ends with a quick time event.
I didn't mind that.
No, so at that point, it was whatever. Like, I was mean, ready I to be done with it. I preferred
that it be, I've shot her dead. I didn't want to necessarily a quick time event because it sort of robs from the moment.
But it's also the era. Like, in this era, quick time events were everything.
Yeah, and that's how you ended a lot of games as well.
So that's how I look at it. So it doesn't bother me, but RE4 is also one of my favorite games. So
yeah.
Which again, I thought that game was like one of the best games ever made when you forced me to play it, except for the QuickTime events. It was good in spite of the QuickTime events. Yeah. I don't mind QuickTime events when they are superfluous to the main experience of the game. So like if I am in a shooter and there's going to be like an execution move and it's going to look way cooler and you can kill somebody quicker if you use a series of quick time events, that seems fine. I remember specifically at the end of Resident Evil 4 with the jet ski, I played that section for like 20 minutes getting so pissed off having to go back and forth and press A and jump off. And that was the end of the game. That was the last thing that you did.
Mm-hmm. It's a bitch.
And I'm like, what the hell is that even about? Like, that's going to be the very last thing is me just crashing a jet ski 20 times because I didn't press A. What the shit? No, so that's, yeah, there's a little bit of, I don't like when it ends on that, if that makes sense. I want to barely have enough health. I want to be circling around. I want this to feel like a fight for my life. And then I finally nail that last hit, and then the boss dies or explodes or falls into lava or over the edge of a giant cliff or whatever your thing is. And that is the satisfying end, is I feel like I actually executed the move rather than I just pressed A at the last minute or what the fuck ever. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I still like quick time events, but it makes sense, yeah.
Because you were a degenerate, Mike.
I am.
At least I can say one thing here, though. If this were a standalone game, it's great as a standalone.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It is, yeah. It is,
and
for
I'm,
sure.
And I'm basically, I mean, I played this as a standalone game, and I loved it. It was satisfying. I didn't feel like I was missing out on anything.
I mean, I know it's part of the trilogy with Legend and Anniversary, but this could feel like it could be standalone, and Legend could be a sequel to Underworld, or a prequel to Underworld. Like, I think it works fine for that.
Yeah.
All right.
Good talk.
All right, and then before we go on to questions, comments, or memories, I want to give away a code real quick. Get that out of the way. So this is a Steam code for Re-Legion, and the Steam code is 9PWP8NKW7P CAD7Q. That is your Steam code for Re-Legion. I have no idea what that is.
And don't bother actually trying to do that, because I literally just downloaded it as Mike was giving the
code. God damn it, Cody!
Better luck next time.
Re-Legion or Re-Legend?
Should have skipped ahead.
I don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea what that is.
Well, enjoy your game, Cody.
Oh, I don't know. Try it.
I don't know what it is. I've got it forever ago in Fanatical bundles, and I just haven't.
Mike, so. Mike, you are both a gentleman and a scholar, as well as a philanthropist. I think once you start giving away shit for free, that turns you into a philanthropist. Put that on your resume, man.
All right. Now, I got a lot more comments than I expected from a couple of groups, but.
Really?
Just a little quick. From Tomb Raider Fans Group, from Keston's Kirill. I love this game, but it's so long ago since I played it. From Adam Dawson, Anniversary surpasses Tomb Raider 1 in every way for me. Merging the Cistern and Tomb of Teotihuacan was a genius idea.
Okay.
From David Heinerman, I think it's a great remake, but it did not sell well. Came out same year Halo 3 did too. Now the original TR has been remade, remastered, and rebooted.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And from the official Laser Time community. From
Love Chris, those guys.
Where are we?
Who said this?
From Chris Lichost. I liked it a lot at the time, but these days I honestly prefer the original Anniversary. Plays a little loose despite looking good and feeling like an essential part of the Legend trilogy. From Samuel Wilson. This game is really fun. It was a fantastic refresh for the aging gameplay of the original series. I prefer this series, the newer one. This is more of an adventure. 100% true.
Solid.
And from Classic Tomb Raider. I probably got like 90 comments from these guys. I'm only going to read some of these. I know, I was surprised. Like, they were just commenting and like
they loved it. Yeah.
So I'm going to read some. From Kalina Grindle. So when I was young, I played the original game, but barely remembered much about them. When this game came out, I was 8, and I played this one for the first time by myself when I was like 9. I remember beating it and feeling great. Recently, I replayed this game and forgot how hard it kind of was. Still a great game. From Julie Ashton, I had this game since it came out and enjoyed it up until the centaurs. I've never been able to beat them, and I hated them since. Just gotta look what to do online. And from Matilis Selly, I liked it a lot, but I hated some aspects of it, like the combat thing and especially the fight with two centaurs in Tomb of Teotihuacan. Egypt looked great in this one. Atlantis was a disappointment, though.
Okay. Yeah.
From Derek Graham, great game, the most challenging of the Legend series. I wouldn't know. I did beat Legend. I remember Legend not being that hard.
No idea. Yeah.
I'll get there. Mark Kirkland, I enjoyed it, but I also remember being a little disappointed as they missed some sizable chunks from the original game that I could do with replaying it. Did it miss anything, Richard?
Yeah, well, the redesign of certain levels are obviously a change of things.
Eh. From Becca 5, I loved it, but the controls and jumps sometimes are a total disgrace. I love how Laura looks and her gear is cool and how they redesigned the levels to implement the newer Laura's moves and gear. From Hannah Penman, was a great game. I did like the original more, but at the same time, when it was released, Anniversary was the closest thing to a possible remaster, so it tried to touch on that original nostalgic, and I actually replayed it fairly recently while I was waiting for the remaster. Sure, some places are different in design, but Anniversary is still a pretty game. From Charno Andely, loved it. From Lewis Thome, this is such an excellent game, and playing the original Tomb Raider 1 now again just highlights what a great job they did at reimagining this classic game. The PS3 version has very few glitches, so it's a joy to play. The Manor Mission-like theme is a great addition to the game, and its music overall is superb. Loved it.
Yeah.
I'm going to read a couple more. From Juan Vincius, this game, it's so good, an amazing remake. I played Tomb Raider in Order 1 Chronicles, and my favorite Tomb Raider of PS1 is the first one. I really love Tomb Raider 1. So I skipped Angel Darkness and Legend, go to Anniversary, and I loved it. It's even better than TR1, one of my favorite. Okay? And Christopher Wilkinson, very enjoyable game, a nice reimagining of the original. And last one I'm going to read from Rebecca Cad, found this more challenging than the original Tomb Raider games and more interesting. Really enjoyed it. Played it on Xbox 360 and last year on my Steam Deck.
Nice.
That's all games should be on the Steam Deck. And there were a lot more, but I don't have time, unfortunately, to keep reading.
Oh. Nice.
People had a lot to say about this game in the Tomb Raider group. No surprise there. Yeah. So we'll go to Shelf Stacker Box. And Kyle, why don't you go first?
All right. I understand that this game has some flaws. I know a lot of the kind of middle section of the Tomb Raider games, the early Crystal Dynamic games, right after Dark Angel. Like, I know they have there's some flaws. Like, none of them are perfect. Like, but to me, I think they almost are. Like, I think they're some of the most fun out of all of the franchise. I think the tone isn't too overly serious or overly goofy. I think the gameplay is really fun. The platforming and the gun shooting feels solid. Like, unlike the early, this is just my opinion, folks, but like, unlike the original three games, the trilogy, where the controls are very specific and you have to really learn them to get good at them. I just feel like the Crystal Dynamics games are, the early Crystal Dynamics games are a little bit more accessible. So I'm going to actually say this goes on the shelf. I would be proud to have this. I really dug this game. I dug this and Legend. Both really solid games. Lots of fun.
Okay. I remember liking Legend a lot when I played it on PS2, but it's been so long.
Especially with Legend where, like, you can unlock, like, a million type of outfits for Lara and you can, like, dress her up and it's, like, super cool. I love that. Like, you can make her wear her winter outfit, or she can wear that, like, that strapless dress, and, like, you can make her do, like, action hero stuff in a fucking strapless dress barefoot, which, actually, that's kind of a better idea than wearing heels, because, like, if you're, like, running around and doing serious jumps and everything like that, heels, like, holy shit, that must be murder on your feet. I feel bad for any women and or feminine-presenting people that, like, try to do stuff like that, like, actually fight in heels and do action movie stuff, like, your poor feet, oh my god.
I've seen drag queen lip sync and do the splits in heels.
Holy shit. Those queens are my heroes doing that stuff. Wow.
Yep.
Hey, I wonder if RuPaul's going to be banned in Texas, Cody. Is that next?
Not if I have anything to say about it.
It's fucking better not. I'll fight them.
So you know how there is a drag ban in Tennessee?
There actually is?
Yeah, there was a drag ban. I'm going to tell you what I'm doing right now. When I do my book signing in Tennessee in June, possibly July, I'm going to do that book signing in a dress. We've already set it up. We already have bail money set up. So the state of Tennessee is welcome to kiss my whole ass on that.
Good.
Quote that shit.
I'm going to Tennessee, right. Ashley, next month.
I'm sorry. It is a beautiful state. Which area of Tennessee?
I'm going to Knoxville and Nashville.
Okay, those are very nice areas. Those, I would say. Memphis, not so much, but Nashville, Knoxville, Chattanooga are great. Bristol tries its best. God bless it. As somebody that used to live there.
But, I should ask, how many Trump signs am I going to see while driving through Nashville?
All of them.
Knoxville.
Okay, here's one thing. Okay, tangent, because you know I'm very good about these. You will see Trump flags everywhere, Mike. Like, anywhere you go in the 50 states, definitely the contiguous 48. I was driving through Amish country of northern Ohio in 2021. It was for a laser time wedding. Shout out to Sarah and Robert. They are beautiful. It was a beautiful wedding. I love them. Anyway, I was driving up to Cedar Point through goddamn Amish country, and they had the stars and bars. I'm like, I could piss on Canada right now, and you're supporting the General Lee. How is this possible? You're going to see Trump flags anywhere.
I see them every so often when I drive in northern Minnesota. And I'm just like the thing that always got me was like, was 22, like 2022 or 2023. And I'm like, oh, 2020. And I'm like, I don't care who you're rooting for. I mean, I do care. But in this case, like, why you just, it's the year's end. Like, take down the flag. Like, come on.
Right. Yeah. At that point, it's just a lost cause type of mentality. You know, you look sad. Yes. You look sad.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to see Biden stuff either, to be honest. No.
I don't either. Okay, so anybody who believes, this is the one political thing that I will say. If you are into if you look at a politician and you go, yep, that's my guy, you're a dork. I don't care who the politician is.
Yeah.
If you idolize a politician, you are an absolute dork.
Yeah.
I can understand why people would go, look, I'm scared of gay people because I'm fucking stupid. But maybe you would do that and you'd go, okay, well, I have to vote for Trump, right? Like, I just, like, I don't know what else to do. I have to vote for that guy. But if you legitimately look at that man and you go, yep, he's flawless. I love him. He is daddy. How? Why? This is the most insecure orange man I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oompa Loompa.
He's Oompa Loompa, my guy. Like, how do you look at that and go, yep, that is my boy. That guy exudes leadership. Never mind what he stands for, but that personality. What I'm saying is have better heroes, Mike.
Yeah. You don't, I mean, I look up the people who tell me to drink bleach to cure my COVID.
Yes.
Hey, he wasn't wrong. It will cure your COVID.
It will technically cure
your COVID. You'll be dead shortly after.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody can drink bleach once. Everybody can drink bleach once. We all know.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Cody, shelf stack or box?
This one's a stack. I like the game quite a bit. I think this is my first stack ever. I think I've shelved, put it on. Yeah, I've shelved everything. You spoil me with good episodes, Mike. This one is definitely, again, it is a stack. It just did not stand out to me the way that like Dead Space and the other Tomb Raiders and Alice and a few of those other games did. It's very solid. I loved it. I'll never play it again. Ask me again a month from now. I'm going to be hard-pressed to remember anything except Pierre. Pierre's going to... I love that fucking guy so much. And the handstands. The handstands are so good when she does the flip over the thing and she, like, lingers and she does the handstands.
The cartwheels or the front flips? Like, that's so satisfying. I'm sorry.
Just that slow... drop down, play the game. You'll know what I mean. You'll have a lot of fun with it.
I never did them during the game.
What? Go back and play it right now, Mike. Pause this podcast.
Sorry, I'm insulted.
But this game is good. But
you can do them a lot in the original. It's a lot easier to do it in the original.
But yeah, but this game is a solid stack. I do not hate it, but I'm probably not going to remember it a month from now, other than a lot of vagaries. I think it's one thing that you just had to be there to have those kind of memories with it.
All right. And Mr. Richard.
It's going to be stacked for me, too. I mean, it is a very nice game. It's very well done. I love some of the things they did with it. I hated some of the things they did with it because it robbed from the original, obviously. And even though that we had a more realistic looking Laura and didn't have a polygonal pointy Laura.
We had jiggle physics, didn't we, Rich?
Yes, there was jiggle physics, but that does not redeem it for that the fact that it forced me to buy a damn controller.
Assassin's Creed will be more fun now, Rich. You know that's coming up again. So.
Absolutely.
I still have to start the 3 yet. I've been too busy.
I know. It's my fault.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, still getting used to the new work schedule and trying to work things out. But yeah, this is a stack game. It's like the original and not like the original. And it'd be a very good standalone game. It could fit into the trilogy very well. They worked that out very well. So they didn't necessarily make it that you'd have to complete one to fully understand the full story.
Right.
All right. I'll go last. I was torn, but I didn't hate it. So it's going to go in the stack also. I didn't have a real great time, but it's a good game, and I'm really happy that it's finally off my list and that I did play it. I did enjoy it. I just didn't love it, like the survival trilogy. But then again, it's also a lot of me.
Yeah,
and I don't have a whole lot to say. I just put it in the stack.
Yeah.
But hey, another game off my backlog that bought in more than once. So hey. All right, and then I think that's everything I need to say. I want to go to plugs. And Cody, where can people find you at?
You can find me on the TikTok platform, or better yet, you can just Google me. I'm all over the place now. If you Google my name, Cody Laveau, L-A-V-E-A-U, Google has an official result that says Cody Laveau, internet personality. The former neo-Nazi guy has disappeared off the face of the earth. I killed him. I slayed him. And that makes me so happy. Not only am I the top Google result for Cody Laveau?
He's right.
Google has an official thing for him. It's amazing. It's beautiful. I love it. The main platform, if you've seen me before, you've seen me on TikTok. I had the Lord of the Rings video. I had the Black Little Mermaid video. I talked too much about Iceland. As I'm recording this video, there's another volcano going off in Iceland. And as soon as I get off of this podcast, I'm going to jump on and do another Icelandic volcano update. It is what I do. I love it. I am an author. I wrote a book called Hwarangi Fire. It's a Korean Viking fantasy novel. Multiple characters are queer, because I did not know how else to avoid stereotypes other than just to write like 8 queer characters on this ship full of sailors, men and women and others. And I just figured like you could beat the stereotype by just, you know, making them every which way. And people are responding to it very well. Last I checked, as of last week, it was number 8 on new fiction in fantasy. It's dropped down a bit, but I'm very proud of that. I'm only about... thank you very much. I'm only about 8,000 copies away from being a New York Times bestseller. So you know what to do. I know how many people this podcast reaches, Mike. So if everybody listening to this podcast goes on to Amazon, buys a copy of Hurongi Fire, we will be on the New York Times bestseller list as of whenever this posts. I guarantee you. This is definitely going to happen. Thank you.
All right. And Richard, where can people find you at?
Oh, you can find me up on my YouTube channel, Rich Kale, where I play through various games, franchises, and all that. So I'm currently working through Tomb Raider Legend and a few other things that you've also seen me or might have heard me play on this show. I mean, I'm right now working on Assassin's Creed 2 for on the channel and a bunch of others. I mean, I'm going through Bendy for the Bendy series, which is interesting to play through, I'll tell you that. And I'm replaying through some of the Final Fantasy games, too. And if Mike ever decides to do Final Fantasy 2...
Someday.
Yeah, that's gonna be like... What's that one that I've never used before? That's where it'll go.
Yeah. All right.
And I have fixed it. I post up on fanfiction.net, Archive of Our Own, Comic Vine. I got a lot of stuff out there.
And Kyle, where can we find you at?
You can find me on Blue Sky at chibiufo.bsky.social. You can also find me on Instagram where I post random pictures of crap in my life at chibiufo. And you can also find my podcast, the Unidentified Flying Obsession Podcast, wherever you can find podcasts. I actually just released an episode a few days ago, about last week. About a week and a half ago, just about now. So almost 2 weeks ago. So I just released that episode. A friend of mine and myself, we did a tribute to Cynthia Rothrock, where we talked about 2 of her movies and we gushed like total fucking nerds.
All right. And you can find links to all these gentlemen, to their stuff in the show notes. And if you want to support the show, we do a Patreon for a little dollar. You can vote in our Patreon poll. You will see a link in the show notes to that. Every month we have polls, and now we have video episodes like this. The raw, unedited of this video will be in the Patreon. I'm starting to do that. Starting to work out, trying to put. I only got one. This is my second one, so here and there. And we have a Discord. You can link in the show notes. Please join our Discord. We're always looking for more people to talk with us, so definitely go do that. I want to give a shout out to my awesome intro and outro courtesy of Elena at Hell Hasphere. You can follow her on TikTok, Instagram, Twitch. You will see a link to the link tree in the show notes. I want to shout out to Bill Tucker, start his own podcast, Gamer Looks at 40. Check him out. Check out Nomads of Fantasy and Nintendo Main Podcast. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, YouTube, audio only. You can find us on all those things. I think that's everything I need to say. So we will see you guys all next time. Bye, everybody.
Talking, Mike. You know I am. But take it easy, Mike. And take it twice. Take it twice. You knew exactly what I was going to say. I love you.
Bye, everybody.
Take care.